Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. This is the reading of God's word. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. And through your word, let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, and have fellowship with him. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, that we may rejoice and give you all the glory, honor, and thanksgiving. O Father, let our faith grow as we hear your word, and let us live by faith. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are looking at the third commandment today. But remember, before we begin, remember what we have learned about the God's law. Simply stated, we cannot obey them perfectly on our own ability and strength. But Jesus Christ has obeyed them perfectly for us in our places instead of us. Thus, it is as if we have obeyed them perfectly ourselves. Thus, we are able to obey them perfectly only in Jesus Christ. We must do all things by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. So this is what the Christian life looks like. First, we do our best in obeying these commandments. But we always know that our best is but sin. Thus, we repent. But even as we repent, we also realize that Jesus Christ has obeyed them perfectly for us and that he died for our sins. Thus, our best is indeed accepted, but only in Jesus Christ. Thus, the fear of judgment is no more. We know that we are forgiven of our sins. Thus, we do our best to obey as much as possible because as much as we obey, that much we are imitating Jesus Christ. We are participating in his life. We are witnessing our reality of heaven that Jesus has already accomplished for us. And as much as we obey, we are expressing our love for our God who loved us first. So, don't forget that as we look at these commandments. Now today, the third commandment, verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Now, the first commandment, the issue, was whom do we worship? Well, the true God. We should worship true God. And we know the true God only through the Bible. So whom do we worship? But the second commandment, the issue was how do we worship? How? Well, according to the Word of God. Now, the third commandment today, here the issue is what must be our attitude as we worship our God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. NIV has it, do not misuse the name of God. The same word is used in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Thus, if our verse is translated the same way, then it goes, you shall not use the name of the Lord your God in false witness. Leviticus 19, verse 12. You shall not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. Do not swear falsely by God's name. To do so is to profane the name of God. It means to bring shame to God's name, disgracing the name of God, dishonoring the name of God, using God's name as if it is worthless. And this is not just the problem of our lips. Isaiah 29, verse 13, then the Lord said, because these people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Mechanical lip service, without the involvement of the heart. So even if outwardly you're using God's name properly, but if your heart is not in it, then you're using God's name in vain. Using God's name without love for God or love for God's name in their hearts, this is also using God's name in vain. Using God's name without true faith in Jesus Christ, understanding God according to their sinful minds and using God's name in terms of that understanding, it is all using God's name in vain. So every time non-Christian mentions God, they're using God's name in vain. Some people go far in this misusing God's name by using God's name in cursing. Now, I don't want to repeat that here, but you know what I'm talking about. If something bad happens, they go, you know. How would you like it if I use your mother's name in cursing? Every time something bad happens and I just mention your mother's name. The answer is obvious. But this is what we see in this world. Whenever something bad happens, these people use God's name. And you hear it all the time in so many situations. Oh my God! Or now, OMG. Instead of reverence and respect, they use God's name in so trivial things. I mean, if a pizza tastes good, oh my God! Using my God's name in vain. Do you think that those things are worthy of God's name? How about, oh my gosh? One dictionary says, gosh is a euphemism for God. How about geez? Gee. One dictionary says, gee is a short form of Jesus. How about God's attributes? Oh my goodness. Because attributes of God points to God himself. See, we use God's name as if it's worthless. I mean, in so trivial things, we bring in the holy name of God. God says, do not use God's name in vain. Some use God's name as a magic formula or as chant, just repeating over and over again without any meaning. How about bringing up God's name just because I want certain worldly things? I pray for those things and I will use God's name at the end because I believe that will better my chances of getting those worldly things. So you say, I pray in Jesus' name. Is using God's name in vain. The holy name of God should not be involved with these things. Just like if I use your mom's name or your father's name in all these things, you will get upset. And I get upset. I take it personally. Because you're talking about my God. More important than my mom or my dad. We must never swear by God's name if we have no intention to do what we are promising. How can you bring God's name into falsehood? You have no intention to do whatever you, but you say, I swear to God. How can you bring his name into falsehood? If you are going to swear, you have to swear by God, his name. But see, when you do that, you have every intention to do what you say. So swearing by God's name is not sin, it's not false. God says to do it, but see, when you do, you have every intention to do what you say. But involving God's name in falsehood, I mean, it's just obvious, that is just wrong. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, but you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God will choose from all your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. He's talking about the temple location. And he says that that's where he dwells, that's where he will put his name. Here we see that God's name is equal to God himself. And that's how God takes it. And that's how we must take it. Because our love for God, his name is so precious to us. And question to you is, how important is the name of God to you? What is it worth to you? We dare not use God's name as if it is worthless, as if it is trivial. Yeah, like just whatever little trivial tiny thing happens, oh my God, God's name is used like, you know, puppy's name. So Psalm 138 verse 2 says, I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. So here, not loving God's truth, His word, is also considering God's name as worthless. It is using God's name in vain. It is about the heart, your heart. Someone, let's say someone comes to you and calls your name. So you turn to face that person, and that person just walks away without saying anything, without even looking at you. He called you, and you turn around, and he just walks away. You would say that that person is very rude. But we do the same thing to God all the time. During worship, during prayer, during praise, we invoke God's name and we sleep and think about other things. It's like calling His name, and when He pays attention to you, you just walk away. You walk away. If you have no intention of talking and listening to God, then you shouldn't call His name. But as we gather here to worship our God, we already have called His name. Now, do not be rude to Him. You called His name, you invoked His name as we began worship, and He's paying attention to receive worship from you. Do not be rude to Him. Otherwise, you just call His name in vain. You're using His name in vain. As we pray, we call God's name. That's how you begin your prayer. Heavenly Father, we call Him. But if our hearts are not in the prayer, then it is the same thing as using God's name in vain. You call Him and you start praying and you think about something else. You're being rude. And I'm not, you know, saying all this. I mean, you yourself will be upset if somebody does that to you. And our God is truly living God. He's a person. Personal God, see? When we say person, we don't mean human. Because God is three persons, one God. Meaning, He has emotion. He could emote. And being rude, He notices. You know, let's say your husband or your wife comes to you. Your husband comes to you and say, I love you. And you are so happy because you heard what he said. You're so happy, so you ask him again. He said, you know, even though you heard, because you want to hear again, you say, what did you say? And your husband says, I don't know. How would you feel? In singing praise, you say that you love your God. You know, all the words to your praise, the hymns, you're saying you love your God. Let's say after singing the second verse, I stop you and ask you, what did you just say to God? And you go, I don't know. Why do we think God will be happy with that? That is why I always ask you to come early to worship and look at the program, and it will list the number of hymns that we're going to sing. Read those words in hymn book. Read them. And ask yourself, do I desire to say these words to God? And if you really mean those words that you will read, then you praise. Otherwise, your heart is not in it. You're just opening your mouth and make some noise. That's all it is to God. It's also using God's name in vain. I could go on and on with this, you know. Using God in our joke. You hear that kind of stuff. I get so offended. I just have to turn it off. And people are just laughing and, you know, acting like they're having a good time. No, not at the expense of my God. No. Psalm 78, verse 36 to 43. Let me read that to you. But they deceive him, deceive God with their mouth and lie to him and their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast toward him, nor were they fulfilled in his covenant. But he, God, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. How often they rebel against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Again and again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the adversary, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels at the field of Zoan. And if I continue from verse 52, but he led forth his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely so that they did not fear. But the sea engulfed their enemies, so he brought them to his holy land, to his holy country, which his right hand has gained. He also drove out the nations before them and apportioned them for an inheritance by measurement and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They turned aside like a treacherous bull, and they provoked him with their high places and aroused his jealousy with their graven image. This is the picture of sinners. This is how the Israelites were. It's all about just no heart whatsoever, just lip service. And this is a picture of the sinners. It's about attitude that you have, the heart towards God as we worship. This is what the third commandment is all about. How important God is to you. How serious are you when it comes to God? Or is just God is trivial? Even when they praise God, it is not coming out of their hearts. We continuously use God's name in vain. Jews in the Old Testament knew that using God's name in vain is a great sin. They were afraid to even mention God's name. Thus, no one said of God's name. But this was not because they loved God so much that they were actually, they were afraid of God's judgment. Anyway, no one said of God's name, thus no one knows how to say God's name. The Old Testament Bible is written in Hebrews, and it is written without the vowels, only the consonants were used. Thus no one knows how to pronounce what you find in the Bible, YHWH. Only consonants, because vowels were not used when the Bible was written. And no one said of this word. They dare not say it, mention it. So nobody knows the pronunciation of this name. But it's this way what God is saying? Do not use God's name in vain, so you just don't even say it? No, again, it's the heart. See, Old Testament people, they didn't even say the word, and yet they were committing this commandment. It is not the matter of just whether you say this or not say this. It is the matter of how we live in this world. Romans chapter 2 verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. Now, this verse is referring to the Jews, but it can also apply to us as well. Is God's name is blasphemed because how we live and because what we say and what we do out there? First Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. So even as you work in your, you know, job, because of how you do it, they might curse God because of you. Go to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Now this is the picture of heaven, and that 144,000 is a symbolical number including all who are saved. And whose name is on their forehead according to this verse? God's name. That is your spiritual reality. Right now, God's name is on your forehead. Wherever you go, you carry that name because you're a Christian. Now, go to Revelation 13, you know, right before that 14. Go to verse 16. And he, the beast, you know, everybody knows this 666, right? The beast causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the freeman and the slave, to be given mark on their right hand or on their forehead, And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the name of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. The number 6 is a number of man. Man was created on 6th day. So it's just repeating that 6 3 times. That is 666. Just like the number of God is 7. So for non-Christians, whose name is on their forehead? The name of this beast. In terms of number, 666. It's not the number that you will get when, you know, some people tell you that, oh yeah, that day is coming when we have to get that number, otherwise we cannot buy anything and all that kind of nonsense. It's their present spiritual reality. Right now, that number is on their forehead. Just like right now, God's name is on our forehead. So you take God's name wherever you go. You involve God's name whatever you do. You cannot get away from this. Because we're Christians. You cannot, in certain period of your life, you say, wait a minute, let me take out this God's name for a while. As I do these things, you cannot do that. It's always there. Are you bringing shame to that name that you carry? Even they call us Christian. Christian. His name, Christ, is in it. Our actions can bring shame to God's name. It is using God's name in vain. Even in the worldly custom, they take family name very seriously. They are so careful not to bring shame to their family name. Even in human custom, this is true. But we're talking about God's name. And God says, the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. So, I could go on and on with these examples, but I think I'm already getting tired of it. It's just pretty much everything about our life. So, question, are you able to obey this commandment perfectly on your own ability and strength? So I should just say, go out and obey. And you say, amen, and you go, and you try your best. Is that what it is? Always realize that you cannot obey on your own strength and ability. You are not able. That's why we need Christ. That's why we need Jesus Christ. We are able only in Christ. Because Jesus is the only one who never used his Father's name in vain. Never. And he did that for you. Now, let's understand this profaning God's name biblically. Now, I gave you everyday examples, but let us understand in a redemptive historical way. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. It's a bit long, but follow me. follow as I read this. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 16. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. Therefore I poured out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land, because they had defiled it with their idols. Also I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands. According to their ways and their deeds I judged them. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, These are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of his land. But I have concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. So God tells us the purpose of salvation in next verses. But let me explain here. The reason why they were judged, the reason why they were kicked out of the promised land was because of their sins. So God had to judge them. But when he judged them and they were in exile, these nations looking at them and said, these are God's people. What happened? And these kings were thinking to themselves, maybe their God is nothing. I am greater than their God. So God's name, the respect and reverence and honor never went to God. So, because of our sins, spiritually speaking, New Testament time, we do the same thing. But God says, I will save them. Why? Because of my name, he says. I had concern for my holy name. And let's start from verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name and has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned it in their midst. Then the nation will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. So how then he will bring the honor back to his name? By saving his people. Then the whole universe has to acknowledge that he is the greatest, great God. It's because of his name. So you go to verse 24. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you heart of flesh. See, he will save, but the salvation is described in terms of God giving you new heart. The heart has to change. We are saved so that we may love God and love his name. That new heart will now give proper respect, proper reverence, proper love to God's name. That's the purpose of salvation. See, there are so many ways to say the purpose of our salvation, but in terms of what we are talking about today, the purpose of salvation is to exalt God's name. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 9, God speaking of the Exodus, "But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom they live, in whose sight I made myself known to them by bringing them out of the land of Egypt." And you have to bring this principle to our salvation, because our salvation is the same. God has saved us from sin, and He has saved us from this sinful world and made us His people who now exalt His holy name. We are saved to praise and exalt His name. How then we dare use God's name as if it's worthless, as if it is trivial? And God has accomplished our salvation through and by and in Jesus Christ our Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 through 11, "Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Our Father's will is to exalt Jesus Christ, giving Him the name above all names. Thus, to exalt God's name is to exalt the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 29, verse 22-23, a promise of God. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now turn pale, but when he sees his children, the work of my hands in the midst, they will sanctify my name. Indeed, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and I will stand in awe of the God of Israel." God's promise says that my people will sanctify my name. And it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It is fulfilled in you. You have been saved. This is our eternal reality. This is how we're going to be in heaven forever. We will never use God's name in vain in heaven. And that eternal life has already begun in Jesus Christ for you and for me. Jesus Christ is the only one who never used God's name in vain, and He did that for us and in our places when we then obey this commandment perfectly only in Jesus Christ. As soon as you understand that, then the next step is you do your best. And that much, we honor His name. We exalt His name. We do our best never to use God's name in vain. But see, you will fail. But as soon as you fail, you understand Jesus obeyed it for me. So you repent and you trust Jesus. And as you trust Jesus, now you do your best not to use His name in vain. And you fail, you repent, you trust Christ, and you do your best. Fail, repent, trust Christ, and you do your best. This is the Christian life. But as you do this, you realize that ultimately, in Christ, I'm righteous in His sight. Even as I use God's name in vain in so many things, God receives me as someone who never uses His name in vain. But if that is the fact, if that is the reality, then we do our best not to use His name in vain as we live our lives here. I mean, that's just automatic. Unless you don't understand the gospel. We do our best, and that much we imitate Christ, and that much we participate in His life, and that much we witness the reality of heaven. See, we participate in Jesus' life, a life in which He never used God's name in vain. So, your life, your Christian life has to come from your faith. That you have already become someone that who would never use God's name in vain. That's who you are in heaven. That's how you are forever in heaven. That life has already begun. So it's not about don't do that. It's about who are you? That's the issue. And your answer is, I am God's child, who will never use God's name in vain. Forever and ever I will not do that. That's who I am. And that is true. That's who you are. You must believe. And with that faith then, you will live your life. Without faith, everything is sin. Because everything you do, apart from faith in Christ, is sin. Literally, it is sin. Psalm 5, verse 11, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them, and those who love your name may exalt in you. Psalm 7, verse 17, I will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteous, will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And that is exactly what we're doing as we worship Him. And as we worship Him, I pray that all of you and myself too, that we will realize the salvation has been completed. That I am a citizen of heaven, and I will not use God's name in vain forever and ever. And that life of heaven is already my life. And as much as I am possible, I want to witness what has already been accomplished. This is what Christian life is all about. You've got to understand this. I'm so thankful. Not because I'm going to try so hard that I will not use His name in vain, but because what Christ has done and what He has accomplished, I will not use God's name in vain. This is my reality. So, this is the key. When you look at these Ten Commandments, they are the standard of God's holiness. But I want you to see Christ, because that's how He lived. Those commandments are a picture of Christ. Because that's how exactly how he lived. But also when you look at those commands, see your heavenly reality. That's how you are in heaven. Every commandment in the Bible, that is how you are in heaven. Do you understand that? That's why the commandments, the laws, are delight to us. It's not something that brings, you know, fear and yoke. No, it's delight because it's Christ and it's also about us. You have to look at the law this way. Otherwise, then you're just going to struggle with these don'ts and do's and this guilt, and it's just miserable. We are so blessed. Let's pray to it. Heavenly Father, we thank you. These Ten Commandments, in the beginning, without Christ, it kills us. It just shows that God has to judge us. You have to judge us with the eternal punishment of hell. But because of Christ, because what he has done and accomplished, and because our union with Christ, now these commandments are a delight to us. It shows Christ. It shows our heavenly reality. It shows who we are, how we're going to live forever and ever. We thank you that even your commandments, because of Christ, are a delight to us. We thank you. And we give you all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.